Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, I am glad to be in the same room with all of you. I didn't get to say that this past Sunday, given the moment that I was up here, but it just feels good to just be in the same room with some people. We're going to be continuing our study in Colossians tonight. I'm really pretty excited about it because I'm very excited about this chapter that we have made it to. Chapter 3 has been one of my favorites for a long, long time. So you can start turning there. I do know that, and if you don't, you can, maybe you noticed in the announcements or you've looked around and seen or you're hearing, we have a slightly different crowd here tonight than we do on normal Wednesday nights. We've got, I'm looking forward to kids church and youth group and everything. I'm looking forward to classes. I'm looking forward to all of that. So I understand being up here that I have a little extra expectation from everybody under the age of 12 to make this interesting and energetic. So if you want to watch real closely, because I might do something that you know, you don't expect. And as a parent, I know I can hang it like that and leave it for the rest of the entire time. And they'll be like, at the end of it, you didn't do anything. I'm like, no, I was just trying to get you to watch. But I have some things planned here. I want to keep it interesting for everyone. And I know for maybe for some of the adults in here, you might need some help like me just getting used to being sitting in front of people and being in church again, because you get out of the habit and you're like, well, every time I listen to a podcast, I listen to it on double speed, and he needs to speed up, or he needs to slow down, or I have my own issues sometimes as an adult too. So I'm gonna try and hit everybody here tonight as best I can. Colossians 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it's largely because of the first few verses that we're gonna cover here tonight, 1 through 4 here. Verse 1. Hopefully you've made it there. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ. How many in here have been raised to new life in Christ? Raised to new life in Christ. I know that for me, getting to be here tonight with all of you feels like being raised to new life with Christ, honestly. And before we go any further, I want to take just a couple of minutes on these first 10 words here, because this is really important to get this. Everything that Pastor has gone over here and everything that Paul has written up to this point comes up to this word since. He's making a concluding statement that he's going to build on to go forward here, and it starts with this word since here. It's a very good word that kids use all the time in reasoning with us, you know. Since she got 3 cookies and I only got 2 pieces of candy, I think I need some more candy. Since I did more dishes than they did, it's a basis of reasoning that you start from. It is the word since means that it's about to state the whole reason behind what's going to be said. You know, since you're stronger than me, will you lift that up for me? Or since you're taller than me, can you reach that? And all of these things, it builds off of it. Since you already know the answer to the question, why don't you tell us? You know, it assumes that what you're about to say is true, that it is foundational, that it already makes sense. And that's where he starts with in this verse. It assumes agreement with an undeniable fact. The second word here, you. You, since you, individually, you, I know Paul did not technically write this letter to us. I know that. But the Bible clearly says that what was written in Scripture is for us. It's for us. This is who the truth is going to be about. This is directed to you, and Paul knows this to be true of the church of Colossae, and I know this to be true about the people in this room. I want you to follow the rest of the sentence from these first two words. An undeniable fact that's directed to you. Next two words, have been. Past tense. It already happened. It's done. It's a done deal. Have been. Okay? There's a big difference between in potty training and having been potty trained. It's a good example, yes? Present and past tense. If you are in potty training, you're in it, man. You're in the fight. You are trying to figure this thing out. You're working hard at the idea of, you know, that feeling you're supposed to feel before you go so that you tell somebody and then I've been there. I know. It's how many are there right now? I'm just kidding. That just threw me totally off. I'm sorry. My example went really good, but it should have all stayed on one page, and then I would have been ready for the next one. If you are going through something currently, it's different than having already gone through it. If you are unsure about how it's going to end up, you approach it maybe a little bit differently than if it's happened over and over and over again. Since you have been, this is something that has already taken place and you can stand on. These first four words are conveying this thought from Paul. It is, I'm about to state something that I know is already true about you. I know that maybe it sounds like I'm pulling this out a little bit too far, but it's really important that we get this. What is already true about you? You've been raised to new life with Christ. You've been raised to new life with Christ. We already have new life in Christ. This is a foundational truth. This is an existential reality. I mean, we got kids in here tonight, sorry. This is very true. This is very true, okay? We have new life in Christ. We've been raised to new life in Christ. Somebody else made it happen, had been. I'm not trying to make light of this. I want to drive this point home. Why? Because for the past 3 months, my life has not felt like new life. It's felt like new death over and over again. It's been weird. It's been awful. And my quarantine time started before everybody else's because I got the flu at the beginning of February. And I was out for like 14 days. And I finally got better, and then I had to deal with eosinophilic esophagitis. There's no EOE. It's where your throat constricts. So I went in for a surgery to have them blow open my throat. Inside, well, they didn't blow. They inflated a little balloon, stretched my throat, and they did a good job of it this time, but I felt it for several days. Made it kind of not feel very good. And then I went in, and I had food allergies. They said it was probably food allergy related, and so I had pinpricks all over this arm for a while, and then they're like, well, nothing happened. And I was like, I felt like something happened, but because you just stuck me with like 30 little toothpicks, and it wasn't very fun at all. So they're like, well, we got to do this other thing. Don't worry, we'll just do 21 this time. And they took shots, and they stuck it just a little bit 21 times and just injected me with stuff. And I was like, well, that's probably going to do something. And I found out that I'm like allergic to everything that I normally eat, which is weird. So I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it does something to you when you walk through all kinds of stuff. And then 2 weeks later, I'm trying to do an amazing thing for my wife, and we're clearing out all of the trees and all the weeds and all the everything in our backyard, and we have a great view now, but I got poison ivy. And I still kind of have the remnants of poison ivy. That was 3.5 weeks ago. And I had a steroid shot and took pills for it and everything. I went and did whatever I could. I have felt like new death. Not new life. It's been miserable. It's not fun. But it's also not the truth. Your feelings lie to you on a regular basis. And just because something feels like new death over and over again, that's not what we stand on. We stand on the foundational truth. Since you, Adam, have been raised to new life with Christ, this is what's going to happen as a result of that. This is where we need to go from that. That's why I'm harping on this. even though your life may not feel like this verse one here, it doesn't matter. It's not what we go on. There are lots of times that we have to go on what is true and not what feelings say. It's great when feelings line up with the truth. There's not much else that is like it. Like when, I guess victory would be the best word to describe like truth lining up with good, exciting feelings. Like it's something was just right. And it was like, man, that doesn't happen that often. Where circumstances and situations and everybody and everything and your mind and everything all lines up and you're like, praise God. Yes. It's not like that very often. Sometimes it's, oh, that is true. Or sometimes you're like, yes, and like, oh, you're wrong. Oh. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Or in the New American Standard Bible says, keep seeking the things above. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, or keep seeking the things above, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. What are the realities of heaven, or what are the things above? It's not easy to keep in mind if we don't continue to remind ourselves. Well here's just a few. Christ left earth to prepare a place for his church. That's a reality in heaven. He's preparing a place for his church. He's seated at the place of honor at God's right hand. He got there through obedience to God's will. Simple obedience to God's will. I was amazed over and over again when you look at the first things that Jesus is recorded as saying in each of the Gospels, the first things are all about God's will. The biggest one that stands out to me is the one where he's like 12 or something, and they all go for the Passover and then leave, and I guess they leave in a big caravan. It's not like they're all, and not like the car for you kids there. It's like a big group of people with donkeys, a big pile of people, and they're all walking and they're all going, and they said they didn't realize that Jesus wasn't there with them. And when they searched for him, went back and found him in the temple, and he says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? He was already at a young age, everything. You can look at each of the Gospels. It's always about, I need to be doing what God has me doing. He got there through obedience to God's will. We're co-heirs with Christ. Another reality of heaven. We are co-heirs with Christ. And we prove the work that has been done in us by our obedience. We show what has been done in us by our obedience to him. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. In 1 John 2, verses 3 and 6, it says, we can be sure we know him. We can be sure we know God if we obey his commandments. Easy way to tell. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. There's only one way to do that. Anybody had a laptop or a phone or something that you can only use it while it's plugged in? Anybody have one of those after a while? Old laptop, old something where you're if you have to move rooms while you're working on something, you like have to plan out what you're going to do and already prepare the space, because as soon as you get that, you've just got a few seconds before the thing's gonna die. That's our flesh. We don't think very often that our flesh makes us think that we can go further than we can actually go on the battery power that we have. I can do it. I can make it happen. All I have to do is make this phone call. That's all I got to do. I mean, it's just normal work phone call. And then you ruin everything with a phone call that was supposed to be easy. All I have to do is, well, I can make this happen. As a parent, things come up all the time. As a child, all I have to do is put away the dishes. All I have to do is keep my room clean. It seems like obedience should be a very simple, easy thing, but consistent application of that, we're no better than a laptop that dies every time you unplug it. We have to stay plugged into the Lord all the time. If you don't remind yourself of who God is, the realities of heaven on a regular basis, you will lose yourself in a lot of other virtual realities. things that are not actually true, that don't actually make much sense when you step back and think of it in the truth of God's light. I've found that for me to be perfectly obedient is impossible in my flesh. But the answer is right there in this verse. Keep seeking the things above. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now, you can't set your mind on the realities of heaven if you don't know the realities of heaven. So I just want to name just a couple more for you. God came down in the form of a man to pay for the debt of sin that man owed. Read about it in the Gospels. Just go through it. Jesus showed us how to live and how to disciple other people and how to fear God above all else. Wisdom, obedience, again, same place. Jesus returned to heaven and said there would be one coming after him that would help us. Acts 1, 7 and 8. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt in us. He was with us and now he's in us. John 14, 7. Hebrews 7, 25. Jesus is praying to God for us right now. Hebrews 7, 25. If you need this, this is a good one. Jesus is praying to God for us right now. It gets better. The Holy Spirit is praying to God on our behalf for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27. You know that one we get and we quote all the time, 8, 28. For God works all things together for those who love God and call according to his purpose. It's really good. Right before that, it says the Holy Spirit's the one praying and interceding for us with groanings too deep to understand. And he is talking on behalf because his spirit knows our spirit and communicate to God's spirit. All of it is interacting. So therefore, for God works all things together. It's really good. Two of the three people in the Godhead are praying for you. That's a pretty good prayer team right there. Forever making intercession. God. So good, Lord. You are such a good God. We have a crowd of faithful heroes cheering us on in heaven. Hebrews 11. Bunch of people who've been there and done that. I know what you're feeling. I know what this is like. Come on, you can do it. I know. Don't mess up where I did. Do it like this. It's going to work out. It's so worth it. You can do it. People cheering you on the entire time. We have a crown of life awaiting us. James 1:12. James 1:12. You got a crown of life awaiting for you. Hebrews 4:15. Jesus endured all the same kinds of tests that we are, and he didn't fail. You see why it's important that we realize that our life is in him? He endured every test that we have, and he did not fail. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:16. For that reason, we can come boldly into God's throne room. You don't have to be a whooped pup coming back and like, I messed up again. I try so hard to, you know, be like Father God with my kids. And yet sometimes, that was too harsh. So that wasn't quite right. God is not waiting to whoop you. He is on your side. He is making intercession for you. He is praying for you. He is right there with you. And you can go boldly before him. Say, Lord, I need you. Last one here, we are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are new, new creation. What am I trying to say? What is Paul trying to say? Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the things above. How many of you have a stereo or a car stereo, or you have certain where you control, how many nerds here do we have in here that you control the EQ and how things come out of it? How much bass, how much mids, how it sounds, what the volume is, whether it's behind or you like it right before. Come on. Okay. Once you have it set a certain way, you want to leave it set that way because it sounds really good. But if you have children, it doesn't always stay set the way that you want it to be set, or just fill in the blanks wherever you want to, okay? We have to set our minds on the things above like you set a stereo just the way it needs to be. You have to keep the setting there. You can't let it get away from there. Sometimes my settings work really good when I'm listening to music, but they work terribly when I'm trying to listen to somebody on a podcast or a sermon or something like that. It doesn't work. There's a certain setting that it needs to be for. Set your mind on the things above. There are times when you need to hear that God is praying for you. There are times you need to hear that Jesus endured whatever it was. There is a different setting for every situation, but it is always setting your mind on the things above and not the things that are on the earth. And that's what we have to do. It goes on here, not the things on the earth. Verse 3, for you have died, past tense, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If our life is hidden with Christ in God, that means a whole lot. It's really, really big. We don't need to be searching anywhere else for our life. You know how many people lost their sense of meaning and purpose during these last 3 months because what they were finding their life in was ripped out from under them? I found my life in sports. They're gone. Years from now, I imagine my grandkids or great-grandkids coming to me, Dad, Grandpa, tell me about the year that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Well, son, grandson, you see, it was back in 2020. Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It was very exciting. And then all the sports died. They just went away for the rest of the year. Do we have NASCAR coming up? Did they start this past Sunday or is this Sunday? Or still, okay. No, they're still dead. There are people in here who live for people. They live for social interaction. They live for, I want to see and interact and say hi and talk. And what happens when you're not allowed to be around people? You know how weird it is to stand 6 feet away from somebody and talk to them and you're like, hi. Or I go on an insurance claim and I'm like, do you want me to come in your house? Can I come in? I got a mask. I can use a mask to you. Let's do this. You go to the gas station. You go to the gas station with the lady that you know, that you talk to a bunch, and you go up to pay at the counter, and she says, get back. Back 6 feet. 6 feet back. 6 feet back. I'm like, come on. It's me. I buy donuts here. Like once a week. 3 donuts and chocolate milk. 2 for my kids. Step back, please. Step back. Whoa, sir. What happens when that is ripped from you? Where is your foundation actually? Well, I feel really good when people encourage me. It's hard to get encouragement from 6 feet away. You look really nice today. I know because I have a full view of your entire body because I'm not standing right next to you. It's not a nice shirt. Like that whole outfit is looking really good. I saw you from across over there. People put their reliance on all kinds of things. And the truth is that this time brought up a lot of issues in people's lives that they didn't know was there. There are some who live for movies. No more theaters. Good thing I have a phone. You know how boring phones have gotten? Everybody thought phones were amazing and they couldn't find enough time. Everybody's trying to, you know what happened halfway through this thing? People were like, forget this, I'm going outside. This is dumb. Do you know that that's true about everything except the Lord? Everything. This is boring. That's boring. I don't know what to do. I have nothing to do. I will never forget a lady named Hetty Lou Brooks. I was a camper there, and not everybody knows her, but I'll just do my best here. Hi! Oh, it's so good to see you! This is one of those things I'm trying to do to liven it up for the kids. Here's the thing. When she comes into a room, you know she's there. There's no way to not know that she's there. And I remember sitting in a room about this size on the camp floor, the pavilion up there, and she was telling every one of those kids about setting up the camp session. She was telling every one of those kids, you know, if you're bored, you're just a boring person. Did I say that? You are. I'm never bored at all. You know why? Because I'm fun. And wherever I go, there's going to be fun. And I'm not going to be bored. If you're bored, you're a boring person. You need to get out of it. I think a lot of people in the last 3 months found out they're boring people. They just did. There's no sports to talk about. There's no movies to talk about. Everybody's seen everything on your phone. There's nothing new there. No, they didn't come out with another app. They're still sheltering in their place, figuring out their life's boring too. There is nothing. There's people who live for restaurants. New restaurants, trying new things, different foods, different things, gone. There's people who actually love being at school, not because of actually learning at school, but because the friends that were at school. Canceled. You graduated. Congratulations, 3/4 of a year. And now we're going to go all year long and cancel everything that is bigger than 20 people and I don't know what all is going to happen with all that. I'm surprised they haven't said something about canceling busing in Missouri. Like, we're just going to get rid of the whole busing industry because that's too many people sitting in the same spot. I don't know what all is going to happen there. But you're hearing what I'm saying. We can put our trust and our faith and our foundation in things that it doesn't need to be in. And I learned a lot of things about myself during these 3 months because when you have a routine, you tend and have the habits of doing what you normally do. And when that is upset, when that is twisted, when something is taken away, you realize, oh, I was kind of just flying by the seat of my pants there. I was just kind of going through the motion. What happens if I have to do it all myself? What happens if, I mean, Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. There is a difference that this makes when we have a clear handle on where our life is. Now, I love this verse. This one's my favorite one. For you have died, and that sounds kind of morbid, but it's okay. It's a truth. It's a truth. If you're a Christian, you have died. And the sooner you realize that, and the sooner you stop trying to act like you're still alive like you used to be, and realize that your life is only found with Christ in God. With Christ in God. I take that as like a challenge. I take it as like adventure. Because, well, where is it? How can I find that? The normal answer is, you know, it's in the Bible here, right? It's in the Bible. Well, where am I in the Bible? I don't know. Everybody's got their verse. John the Baptist had his verse that he was, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness, make way this path. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Paul had his commission. I know who I am. The ones who that were the Gentiles, those are the ones that I'm sent to. Peter, I'm going to all the Jews. And I'm going to see little fishermen, didn't have all the, they all had their idea of who they were. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Young people. I challenge you. Search the scriptures. Okay, let's learn a new big word for all the young ones in here. The word is epiphany. Epiphany. Say epiphany if you're under the age of 12. Epiphany. Epiphany. Thank you. How many, everybody in here, have ever had an epiphany? Complete realization of something new about yourself or somebody else that it was just like the lights were dark and now they're on and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. in all your searching for who you are, for you older high schoolers, for you ones that are just graduating, for you ones that graduated last year, for you ones that are just searching where it is that you need to go and what it is that you need to do, for you that maybe you've been praying and fasting for God to show you what you need to do, where you need to go, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. With Christ in God. There is no way for me to point that out to you. There's no way for me to say, this is you. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that means that we can say all we want to say. We can do all we want to do up here on stage, but it's up to you. It's up to you to search that scripture. It's up to you to look into and see what God has for you. Are you searching? What have you found? Who are you telling about it? How weird does this feel right now? For you have died, and your life is hidden like a secret, like a game, like an adventure with Christ in God. Okay, I'll end the awkwardness. I just was trying to drive the point home. We can't say enough from the stage up here. We don't have all the answers. We know where the answer's at. But it's something that you're going to have to seek out and digest and divulge and figure out and talk through and walk out and try out. And I said I was going to, I don't know how I'm doing on time because my thing isn't up here. But I said I was going to end going back to that last song about I'm a child of God. You know, as a parent, I get asked a lot of questions. I get asked a lot of questions. And I like a lot of them. And there's some of them that I like not so much. But when my children want to buy something, they ask mom. And mom says, go ask dad. In fact, Colin said to Cynthia one time, are you always going to say whatever it is that dad says? And she's like, yeah, that, you figured it out. When they want to take a trip, or they want somebody to come spend the night, or they want to invite somebody to play, or they, whatever it is that they're concocting. I tried this a whole bunch of times when I was younger. I can talk all I want with somebody else about what I think I want to make happen in my life. We're going to go to here, and we're going to do this. But when you're really young, you don't have a car, you don't have no money, you got nothing to make it happen, right? I'm going to bring you back to that thought. I am a child of God. To make something happen, my kids need to talk to their father to find out what the plan is, to figure out what's going to fit with the schedule that's already set. They've got to find out what time it is. When? No, we're not doing that. This is what's going on. No, we have this going on this weekend. You didn't even know about it. Our life is the exact same way as adults. We can try as hard as we want to make something happen before it's time, but you don't have the resources, you don't have the means, you don't have the intelligence, you don't have any, and I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm saying there's something more to I am a child of God than just he gets me candy. There's things you should ask permission for. If your life is hidden with Christ in God, let's get there. Let's find out what he has to say about it. There's been more than a few times that I tried to work out for my own good, but that verse says that it's God who works all things together for the good of those. I tried to work it out. I thought I had the answer. I thought I'd studied enough. I thought I'd practiced enough. And I'm not saying that we don't have a part to play. Please hear me. I'm not saying that we don't have a part to do. What I'm saying is it's better to get with the one who is your father, who knows what's best for you, who knows what you need and when you need it than to run out and get yourself in trouble. The goal in life is not to find our way around God's will so we can have some fun. The goal in life is to line up our lives with God's will. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, and it is a wonderful life. For those of us who have lived more than 25 years, it becomes easier and easier to trace back where we submitted to the Lord and we saw things flourish and go better than we thought, and where we didn't submit to the Lord and we saw things go worse than expected. And over time you realize, oh, it really is about partnering with him. It really is about finding out what he has for us. Verse 4, last verse tonight. And when Christ, who is your life? He's kind of driving the point home here. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. If you can find that life hidden with Christ in God, it's amazing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be worth all the trouble, all the frustration, all the doubt, all the I'm not sure how this works into the rest of it. You don't have to be sure. What you have to be sure of is who your dad is and what he's saying about you and what he'd like you to do. Those three things will take you further than anything that you, any class, any, that's somebody that has faith and confidence in what's going on. And like Joseph, God caused everything he did to prosper.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.